Well, we are here, and it's, I guess, my honor, sort of, to welcome you to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church, even though we're doing this virtually, and I'm looking out on empty pews right now. So we're hoping you're having a blessed Sabbath day, a time with family at home, a time of rest, hopefully. In some ways, I think it's a bit fitting that all of this is happening during the season of Lent. Lent, of course, is the season of self-sacrifice, the season of absence, and the season of stillness. And in some ways, we're being forced to do that right now. I ask you, as part of our announcements, to pray for the council. Monday evening, we're going to gather together and talk about evaluating going forward, how exactly we're going to do worship, what we need to be doing. So again, keep the council in your prayers. We would appreciate that. I think that's all for announcements this morning. We're going to begin our worship with our opening song, "The Lord Be With You." It can be found in "Lift Up Your Hearts," number 535, "The Lord Be With You." Our call to worship this morning is responsive. I will say the first line, and you will respond in the bold. Return to the Lord your God.
For God is gracious.
Confess to the Lord your God.
For God is merciful.
Repent to the Lord your God.
For God is slow to anger.
Praise the Lord your God.
For God abounds in steadfast love.
Worship the Lord your God.
Together, let us worship God.
Indeed, now is the time to worship, so we're going to sing "Lift Up Your Hearts," number, it says 526. Come, now is the time to worship.
Now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship. Come. is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now.
And as we come into God's presence, singing our psalms of praise before Him, God greets us with these words this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. At this time now, we sing our song of confession together. As Christians, we are aware that God loves us and that God has called us into His presence. And yet, even as we come in, knowing we are loved, we sense that we still stumble. We still do not love as we ought to love. And so we sing together our prayer of confession in the words of, Ah, Holy Jesus, how have you offended? Lift up your hearts, number 172.
Jesus, how have you offended that mortal judgment has on you descended by foes derided, by your own rejected? Afflicted, who was the guilty, who brought this upon you? It is my treason more that has undone you. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, it was denied you. I crucified you. For me, dear Jesus, was your incarnation, your mortal sorrow, and your life's oblation, your death of anguish, and your bitter passion for my salvation.
At this time, we extinguish one of our Lenten candles. In the season of Lent, we are walking the road with Jesus. We are walking the road of self-sacrifice, moving closer to the day when Christ passed from this world to the sorrow of the tomb. We have sinned, yes. We are not always doing what we should be doing. And yet, Jesus himself assures us this morning of his love, that we belong to him, that all of us, the whole of who we are, belongs to him in life and in death. And our words of assurance then come from the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 1, and we will read that responsively together. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. And hear us confess that together in the words of the Catechism. Brothers and sisters, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. In the joy of that, we sing a song of praise in response. That's why we praise him. Number, lift up your heart, number 868.
Perfect life he came to be, the living word, our light. He came to die, so we be reconciled. He came to rise, to show his power and might. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer him everything, that's why we bow down. Worship this King, as he gave us everything, as he gave his everything. To live again in us, he came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones love. He came to go and prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him, that's why we sing, that's why we offer him everything, that's why we bow down and worship his King, as he gave his everything, as he gave his everything. He gave his everything.
At this time, we're going to go into our morning prayer. Again, there's a lot going on in our world, and it is fitting that as the people of God, we gather our hearts together as one, and we bring to God all of who we are, our fears and our joys. So, would you pray with me this morning? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, right now is, in many ways, a hard time. Our lives are changing. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of anxiety. And we're not even quite sure always what to do or how to act. Lord, be with us as your people. Be with us. Give us wisdom. Lord, we think especially for those among us who are in nursing homes right now, who are completely cut off from the outside world. In some places, cut off in their own rooms. We think, Lord, of Frank Vandenbosch, Patty Ritsma, Denise Masbergen, Jan Sneller, Audrey Van Grau. Lord, be with them. Be with them especially, since they always rely on others to come and visit them. And now no one can come. And so we pray, Lord, that you would give them a special sense of peace. Peace and wonder at your love for them. We pray, Lord, for those who are ill among us. We think of John and Judy Clocksteam's daughter, Katie. We think of Greg Smith. Lord, we pray that their cancer would be healed. We are so thankful for the news we have received about Katie, and we are always thankful, Lord, for the way in which the treatment helps Greg Smith. We also pray for Nomi Voss, and we are grateful also to have a good report from her. Thank you for the touch of your healing hand, Lord, that it seems like each of these people's cancers, each of our loved ones, you are there with them in it. Lord, we pray right now especially for Glenda Hoffland, whose lungs are bad, and something like the coronavirus would be deadly for her. Lord, keep her safe. Keep her safe. Lord, we think of our local leaders right now trying to make decisions in our town. We think of law enforcement, Lord. We think of our police and our deputy sheriffs. Lord, be with them right now as they adjust to new realities. Lord, help them. We think, Lord, of doctors and nurses in this area and beyond, not just here, but in places like Sioux City and Sioux Falls and elsewhere in Des Moines and around the country and around the world, many who are working long hours and doing the best that they can. Be with them, Lord. Give them strength. Lord, we pray for those who are ill around the world. You are the one, Holy Lord, who turned back the angel of plague from the dwellings of your people back in the Old Testament times. And we ask you to hear our cry for those who are suffering, even those who are dying in places like Italy and still in China and here in the United States as well. Please mercifully bless the means which are used to stay the spread of this virus. Strengthen those, as we've already asked, who labor to heal and comfort the afflicted. Support those who are in pain and distress. And quickly restore those who have been brought low. And Lord, to all who are beyond healing, grant your heavenly consolation in your saving grace. For you are the God of all grace. Lord God, we are your people. We love you, and we cling to you during this time. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of childlike trust, so that we might be able to say with full assurance that you are our Father. And so turn to you with the words that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This morning's sermon is a little different than usual. I'm going to be preaching from the Heidelberg Catechism. For those of you watching online, maybe who have been visiting our church and are not from a Christian Reformed church background, you may say, what? He's not preaching on the Bible. Well, I'm going to read a Bible text too. Don't worry. But it is traditional within the Christian Reformed church, historically, since the 17th century, to actually do sermon series from the Heidelberg Catechism. Usually it was done in the evenings. And since I've been here, I think I've only preached on the Heidelberg Catechism one time. So now I am remedying that. And just as a little tidbit for you in side note, I was telling the band here a little bit ago that this service, of course, was planned probably about a month ago. And I, of course, changed the text and everything. And I had not realized that part of the words of assurance were Heidelberg question and answer one, which is what I'm now going to be preaching on this morning. So I'm going to read again from the Heidelberg Catechism, and then I will read the passage that question and answer one, or at least one of the passages that question and answer one are based on. So the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one. The question is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. The passage I'm going to be reading this evening, or I should say this morning, is from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and just two verses, verses 19 and 20. Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord, to which we say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me that God's word would enter into our hearts this morning? Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we are dependent upon you as we always are this morning. But this morning, especially in a new way. Spirit of God, meld our hearts together as one, whether we are here at church or we are at home, listening, watching. Lord, give me peace and stillness to preach. Holy Spirit, come. Come so that the words of my mouth would be an announcement of the joy of Jesus Christ, and that he alone would be glorified, and that you, Spirit, would bring us once again to Christ so that we might gaze upon the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, at the tender age of 5, I remember standing in Ben Franklin's craft store in Sheridan, Wyoming. I remember standing there, looking up at the western wall with my mother on one side and my grandmother on the other side, and right up there, just out of my reach, on one of those wire hooks, was hanging a plastic, muscle-bound hero, Rambo. And there were two Rambo toys, two versions. There was the shirtless Rambo in his green camouflage pants with his plastic bazooka, and there was Rambo in what my grandmother described as his civvies, his civilian clothes, his white t-shirt, tank top, and his jeans. Naturally, at the age of five, the guy without a shirt and the big bazooka was where my heart was leaning, and I wanted Rambo. I really, really, really wanted Rambo. There was just one problem. Rambo cost $9. And in the mid-1980s, for a five-year-old whose family was already struggling to make ends meet, $9 was a lot of money. And I begged and I pleaded, but my mother stood firm and gave my grandmother the look. No, you will not be buying him the Rambo. You have to earn the money for yourself. Thankfully, we had an allowance system. I think I've mentioned this before, right? An allowance system at home that if we drank our cup of milk every morning, we got a nickel. If I didn't pick my nose all day, I got a dime. If I made my bed, a penny. You know, there was a whole list of things. And so I began the very difficult process of saving my nickels and dimes and pennies and occasional quarters and the few fluttering dollar bills I got on my birthday, putting them in my little wagon piggy bank, hoarding them away because I wanted Rambo. I wanted him so badly. And after a few months of this, I unloaded my piggy bank one day and there was $10 in there. I had the $9 I needed. And so I marched into Ben Franklin's craft store. I plunked all of my pennies and dimes and quarters and nickels and the few fluttering bills onto the counter, and the lady handed me Rambo. Not the one in the civvies, the one bare-chested with his plastic bazooka. And I took him out to the car, and I tore open that plastic, and I just held Rambo to my chest. He belonged to me. He was mine. Rambo was mine. And we did all sorts of things together. It was my favorite toy. Rambo and I had many jungle campaigns in the camper shell sitting next to our trailer house. We had many desert attacks and fights in the sandbox right under the tree, the box elder tree. I played with Rambo so much, I drug him everywhere that I was so much that within 2 years his head fell off. Rambo was my favorite toy. He belonged to me. I had spent an exorbitant amount of money on him. $9 for Rambo. Well, it's safe to say that the past few weeks have been a bit odd. I mean, it's odd. I've already mentioned I'm preaching to the band right now and to you at home. Things have changed even within a week. A week ago, the question was, would the schools close? And there was kind of this vague threat of something, you know, coronavirus, COVID-19. And now the schools are closed. Businesses are closed, sending employees home. Restaurants are closed other than drive-through or takeout or carry-out or delivery. I actually got an email from Pizza Ranch today saying, this is how we're going to do it, so we'll come and then we'll put the pizza down and step back 6 feet. And like there was a hole. They've got it all worked out, by the way. But things have changed. A lot of things have changed. And anytime there is change, bundles of change, human beings begin to feel anxiety. Anxiety. Anytime our daily routines are knocked out of the way or upended, as they very much are right now. We feel anxiety. That creeping sense in our gut that begins to flow up into our shoulders and then our neck and then the blossoming headache. That creeping sense in our gut that begins to elevate our heart rate and tighten our chest. That creeping sense that begins to invade even our dreams, grinding our teeth at night, and that looming sense of fear that it can feed. In some ways, anxiety in this sort of time is a natural biological response as human beings. When there is any kind of threat, we have a fight or flight response, and anxiety is part of that. And it's especially prevalent in one sense in this kind of threat, because the virus we're talking about is invisible. It's not like an army that we can, you know, have aerial photographs tracing its movement toward us or not toward us. It's just kind of out there. We're not sure, is it here? Is it not here? There are no recorded cases yet, but we don't know. And we're waiting. And that produces its own kind of anxiety day after day. Waiting. And the reality is as well, maybe you have family. There are a number in our church who have immune systems that are not functioning particularly well. And maybe you've began to go down that what-if road of anxiety, down the rabbit hole. Well, what if my wife gets sick? Her immune system is not what it should be. Well, what if she gets sick? Well, then what if she has to go to the hospital? And what if she's a part of a wave of a bunch of people who all go to the hospital at the same time and there are only 20 beds in Floyd Valley? Will there be a bed for her? Will they be able to take care of her? What if she needs a ventilator? Well, how many ventilators do they have? And all the what-ifs begin to pile up. And that headache blossoms. That chest tightens. And we feel a sense of fear. Or maybe you're not particularly worried about yourself or your family for the virus because you're healthy. Family's healthy. But there's a sense of anxiety from just the change of it all, right? Our social lives are being disrupted. I can't take my kids to McDonald's. Actually, my children are doing really well. I'm stunned. Although we did buy them tablets. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. But our lives are changed. Maybe our lives are changed in regard to our jobs. I mean, I know people right now who have been laid off. They work in the food industry. They're sitting at home right now. Maybe, yeah, a loved one's laid off, and we're thinking, okay, well, the restaurant they work at, will that survive a month or two without any money coming in? Will they have a job after it? Will they be part of what some people are estimating will be 20% unemployment when it's all said and done? Even if there isn't a lot of death, just the fact of shutting things down hurts the economy. And so we worry about those sorts of things. We worry about the disruptions. And again, it's not necessarily that we're terrified, but there's a sense of things are out of whack. And so the anxiety can creep in. And we can begin to feel like we are all alone. We can begin to forget a very important truth, that we belong to someone. It's very easy right now to feel like we are little Rambos hung up on Ben Franklin's craft store's wall, and we don't belong to anyone. We're unopened, we're still in the package, we're still up there just out of reach. And no one has picked us out. No one spent a dime to get us. And we have to shoulder all of this ourselves. We have to belong to ourselves and so belong to no one. But of course, that is not our reality. No matter how easy it is for us to forget it, the truth is that we are not Rambo still up there on the shelf. We have been bought. We have been paid for. We belong. Our own Heidelberg Catechism borrows its wording from the passage I read this morning from 1 Corinthians 6. For you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You see, the true story of who we are goes like this. Jesus Christ went into Ben Franklin's. He looked up on the wall, and like a child, he really, really, really wanted us. He wanted us so badly that he saved up all of who he was, his nickels, his dimes, his pennies, his few fluttering bills, and he came back into that store and he plunked it down. He poured out all of who he was, all of his savings, his very life, so that he could buy us, so that he could buy you. And then he tore open the package and clutched you to his chest. You belong to me. You're mine. You belong to me. You belong, sisters and brothers, in life and in death, body and soul, to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You belong. With the excitement of a child and the love of a child, he has purchased you. He spent an exorbitant amount on you, way more than $9. He has given all that he has for you. You belong to him. You are his favorite toy. And he drags you with him wherever he goes. Campaigns in the desert, in the sandbox. Urban campaigns in the camper shell. He plays with you so much your head's going to fall off. No, no, no. We believe in the resurrection, okay? But you get my point. He loves you, and you belong to him. You belong to him, and he watches over you in such a way that not a hair will fall from your head without the will of his Father in heaven. In fact, says the Catechism, drawing again from the words of the Apostle Paul, all things must work together for your salvation. All things. Doesn't mean all things are good, but it means that in every circumstance, God works for your salvation. You belong. And of course, there are people right now in this world who don't feel like they belong, who are filled with that anxiety, who are filled with despair. The kind of people who have bought 12 cases of toilet paper at Costco so nobody else can have any because they are afraid. Afraid. Because they feel like they belong to themselves. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to do this myself. But of course, we can let go of our despair because Jesus has bought us. We are his little Rambos. We belong to him in life and in death. He watches over us. He keeps his sister away. Well, Jesus doesn't have a sister, but you know what I mean. Stay away. No, mine. He cares for us. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, he drags us through everything that he's doing, whether it's in the sandbox or in the camper shell. It's time then for us to get ready our plastic bazookas because we begin to participate in what he is doing once we belong to him, in the joy of belonging to him. And of course, the life of Jesus, as we know, is characterized by two things, especially as we understand them here in this time of Lent, prayer and self-sacrifice. And so Jesus takes us with him to the sandbox, sandbox of prayer, teaching us to pray with him. He takes us to the camper shell of self-sacrifice, teaching us to self-sacrifice with him, playing with him in these places, participating in his game, what he's doing. And so this morning, Christ's call comes to us to pray. To pray for those around us who are afraid, who feel like they do not belong. To pray for those on the front lines, maybe not right here locally, but doctors and nurses around the state and around the country and around the world who are working long hours, exposing themselves to the COVID-19 virus. Praying for law enforcement and emergency response people. Praying for those who are working, yes, directly with the disaster. But also praying for those who have lost jobs or who will lose jobs. Praying for those who are holed up in their houses, unsure what to do. Jesus brings us, his little Rambos, to that playground area. But he also brings us, of course, to the camper shell, to self-sacrifice. Play with me in here, too. Self-sacrifice. You know, it's interesting, in the history of the Christian church, Christians have generally been known in times of disease and plague to be helpers. In the time of the Roman Empire, there were always various famines and plagues going through, and the Christians would help take care of the sick. And again, I'm not necessarily advocating going into someone's house if they have it, but there are ways we can sacrifice and there are ways we can help. Maybe we've hoarded a little toilet paper. Someone needs one, give them something. Or maybe more realistic, some of those in our congregation and in our community who would be very susceptible and very likely hospitalized if they caught the virus. Maybe they need groceries picked up. Maybe they need a prescription picked up. We've already sent out an email here at church. If you're willing to volunteer for that, we've already got a list of people who've come forward saying, I'd be happy to help pick things up, leave it on their doorstep, do the ancient Christian way of greeting, which was the bow, no touching. Bow to each other. Self-sacrifice. But also on the flip side of that, being willing to sacrifice our pride. Because maybe you are one of those people who is in a high-risk situation. And as Americans, we are used to going out and doing our own thing when we want to do it, and we don't like people telling us what to do. But now is the time to sacrifice your pride and to be willing to ask for help, to say, I need someone to go pick up my prescription for me. I need someone to pick up some bananas for me, if they are there. I need help. Self-sacrifice. And also the self-sacrifice of listening to our government officials. Again, as Americans, we don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told what to do. When my wife comes up and's like, hey, you could start vacuuming the living room, and you could, I'm like, immediately. If it's my idea, it's okay. But if she suggests it, we just have a tendency to bristle, right? But self-sacrifice. In the words of St. Paul, the apostle, listening, submitting to those who are in governance over us as they ask us to do various things, maybe not to travel, maybe to stay home as much as possible. Living, as the apostles say, peaceably with all people. And so being a good example in that way as well, self-sacrificing. In some ways, you're sacrificing this morning. You're not able to gather here in the church with the band and with me. But that's part of living the Jesus life, isn't it? It's part of being Rambo, belonging to Jesus, participating in his life of prayer and participating in his life of self-sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, you belong to Jesus. Like a little kid, he loves you, and he refuses to let you go. And so we end the sermon where we began with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Sisters and brothers, you belong to Jesus. And that is the good news. That is the gospel, even in these weird, strange times. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, we're going to sing together from Lift Up Your Hearts, number 451, When Peace Like a River, verses 1, 3, and 4.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
The trumpet shall resound and blow.
sisters and brothers, as you now go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God, go out remembering that you belong to Jesus Christ. Christ has purchased you with his own blood. You are his little Rambo. He loves you. And so you are in his hands. Your fragile lives, your fragile routines are in his safe, crucified hands. Go forth in the joy and in the comfort of that. And receive now the parting blessing of our God. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's people said together,
Amen. Amen.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name.